T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chris Broussard covers the NBA, of course, FS1, and he joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, hope you're well. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys. How are you?
We're doing all right, man. We're excited to have sports back, and you know, it's weird. We're getting used to a new, you know, version of sports with you know, the bubble with basketball and hockey, and you know, no fans in the stands in all these sports. But what's your first take on it as you know, they've been, as basketball in particular has been back for a week now, or almost a week?
I think the NBA has done a tremendous job. I think, first of all, they clearly were far more prepared, I believe, than baseball. I think them having the bubble and how smoothly things have gone versus what you see happening in baseball with several outbreaks. I just think baseball should have had bubbles. Like, I know they were talking about three at one point, so I think that would have been smarter, because the bubble protects you from yourself. You know, if players are out and they're allowed to just do what they normally do, or go out and you just say, hey, maybe be careful, then guys are going to go out. You're talking about 20-something-year-old guys, whereas in a bubble, you can police them, you know, and you can really make sure they can't get out. And if they do, then, or they can go on their own, but if they do, they have to be quarantined and you can hurt the team. So I think that's one thing that the NBA's done a great job on. And then I got to give them credit on the game presentation, because it really doesn't look bad at all. I thought it would kind of look like guys playing in an empty gym.
Yeah.
I thought it would look like if you've ever seen the Orlando Summer League, it just looks cheesy, you know what I mean? Like, it's just guys playing almost like an open gym. And this really looks like, if you didn't know the gym was empty, it would probably take you a while before you say, hold on, are those aren't real fans, those are, you know what I mean? Like, it really almost looks, it looks about as much as it could like a real game in terms of the, you know, the setting. And I love the crowd noise. I know everybody knows it's pumped in, but when you're watching on TV, it just keeps – it gives the impression of intensity. And it almost reminds me of like a college game where, you know, you constantly hear the crowd, like Cameron Arena and Duke, or, you know, there's a constant buzz. So I think it's been great. I mean, as under the circumstances, I feel like the NBA has done about as good a job as it could have. And I think the games have been tremendous, really competitive. I got to take my hats off to the league. I really do.
I agree with you, Chris. I do think, in fairness to baseball, they have to play at least a version of a whole season, and the NBA didn't. So they didn't have to worry about, like, the same type of financial issues, since the players had been paid for a good percentage, and it's easier to
do
basketball.
I thought – I agree. Like, I think if they were going to play 100 games, 120 games, you know, I would – I totally agree. You can't put guys in a bubble butt for so long. But once they went to 60, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, no, they should have gone to a bubble,
and,
no doubt.
Yeah, and
no
again,
doubt.
I don't think one, because there's too many players for one. But, you know, they had talked about Florida, Texas, Arizona. I just think something like that. Because I'm not – are you guys convinced we're going to make it through the season?
I am, only because of the money, and I think if they haven't shut it down after the Marlins thing, I don't think they will shut it down at all, but who knows?
Yeah, I hope they get through it. I agree. I think they're certainly determined, which is part of it, because you figure, you know, in a couple weeks, the Marlins will be fine. And obviously you got the Cardinals. But yeah, it's, we'll see. I've been excited about baseball too. I was watching the Indians game last night, actually, but, so yeah, I it's good to have sports back.
Chris Broussard's with us. The Lakers, very impressive. They lock up the number one seed. Anthony Davis, my goodness, just out of his mind last night, especially that step back three at the end of the game. Yeah. I mean, if LeBron and AD play like this, who's stopping them?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've said all year. Now, my pick is the Clippers, but I've said the key to that, you know, LeBron's going to play well against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I expect these two teams to meet in the conference finals. I think the Clippers are deeper. And what I've said, LeBron will play well, but he's not just going to dominate that series because they got Kawhi and Paul George to really make it tough on him. But they don't have a matchup for Anthony Davis. And I've said all year, the key for them is to have Anthony Davis dominate. He's got to dominate the Clippers. And if you look at the regular season matchups, he's been great statistically. I think he's averaging about 29 points at, 34 the other night. But when you look closer, you'll see in the fourth quarters of those games, he hasn't been good. He's got 10 points total in the four games in the fourth quarter, and that's when they're going to really need him because those games are going to come down to the fourth quarter. And LeBron will deliver, but he's going to need some help. So if Anthony Davis can do the types of things, even just have the attitude that he had last night where he was aggressive, he wasn't deferring to LeBron. Like you said, he took some big shots late and hit him.
Yeah.
If he can just have that attitude, I agree that they'll be incredibly tough to beat, but I'm just not convinced he's going to do it. So I think that is a huge key to who wins not only the West, but I think either L.A. team, whichever one survives the West, is going to win the championship.
How have you have you been impressed with Zion Williamson in the restart?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but, like, his scoring ability is historic. You know, now
it's amazing.
We'll see, you know, when he's playing 35 minutes a night, what type of numbers he puts up. But, man, I mean, so far, he is just incredible as far as dominating the paint. I think he's got some other things to work on. His rebounding last night was pretty good at 7 in 25 minutes, but generally – he's averaging fewer than 7 boards a game. With his size, his leaping ability, athleticism, he should be grabbing more rebounds. So I'd like to see that improve. He's not doing much defensively, but I'm not going to jump on him. Most young kids don't. Even LeBron wasn't much of a defender early. So so I'm impressed, but I'm a bit, I don't know if baffled is the word, but I just exasperated is probably, and I think he's more exasperated than anybody. Because I want to see the kid play. Look, he's been hurt. He was hurt in high school, hurt at Duke, hurt in summer league, hurt in preseason, missed half of the season, comes back from, 3.5-4 months off, has cramps in practice, doesn't get through the practices, comes back, and now he's on this burst restriction, as they're calling it, where his minutes are limited. And I just want to see – I want to see him play, like – he hasn't shown us he can play 4 months of consistent basketball at the highest level. And that's what I'm concerned about. Personally, I think he needs to lose weight. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I know there are doctors and trainers with the Pelicans and people around the league that think he doesn't need to lose weight. They think, you know, that's just how he's built. But I worry about all that torque that he puts on his body and his knees, and I just don't know if it's a coincidence that he has trouble staying healthy. So that's my view. I think he needs to do like Charles Barkley. Barkley said he lost like 50 pounds. I don't know if that might be an exaggeration, but he certainly lost a ton of weight when he got into the league. And I think that might be in order for Zion. Why not try it? Because clearly, like I said, he has trouble staying on the court.
We're talking with Chris Broussard, FS1. Chris, I know the game doesn't really matter much to the Bucks, but how are they losing to the Marlins? I mean, the Brooklyn Nets right now. I mean,
Giannis isn't playing. Giannis ain't playing in the second half.
It doesn't matter. Look at the Nets roster, Chris.
They were down, or it was tied, or it was close in the first half. I think that Brooklyn was up, but it was It was
They're up 94-88 right now at the end of the third or late in the
third. Yeah, they might. They could win it without Giannis. But I always say nowadays, with our media climate, you know, with the debate shows and the 24/7 rate sports talk radio, we treat every game like it's college football. You know what I mean? And sure, they're going to lose some. And then they rot. Tomorrow they'll be on the show. They're not for real. They're, you know, if they lose this game. But I think it's 1 of 82. I know the season's been thrown in flux. But, you know, you don't win every game. And they may have taken Brooklyn lightly. Brooklyn, you know, they got a bunch of no-names playing. And it's a championship for them. And obviously it helps them in their playoff push. So I just think it's one of those games where, you know, the Bucks weren't at their best and the Nets were. And we'll see. I mean, they still got a quarter left to play, so we'll see if the Nets hold on. But, yeah, I'm not making much of a deal. I will say this. Right now I'm picking the Bucks in the East, but they are not a lock. I like Toronto. I like Miami. I like Boston. Philadelphia's got great talent, but they're not mature enough to win big yet. So I think Milwaukee's the best team, but it's not going to be easy for them in the East.
What about the bottom of the West? There's like five teams that could compete for that ninth spot for the play-in deal. Is there any one of those teams that could make some noise?
I don't think any of them will, like, get out of the first round. Because obviously whoever survives it is going to face the Lakers. But I think Portland's my pick. Now, Portland does have a tough schedule, but so does San Antonio and Memphis. And now New Orleans has the easiest one. Everybody's saying that the league is conspiring to get Zion and the Pelicans in the playoffs. And I tell you, when you look at their schedule, it's like, man, maybe it's true, you know. But they do have the easiest schedule. But they got a lot of teams to climb. If I had to pick, I would say Portland. But, again, their schedule is daunting.
We're talking with Chris Broussard, FS1, North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, back to the East. You said Milwaukee's not a lock. You know, obviously, Toronto coming off their championship is playing really well without a bunch of stars. The Celtics are a deep team. Miami, you know, who do you like the most of that other group of teams in the East?
Man, it's close. I probably would say Boston, assuming Kemba Walker's healthy. I love Toronto. I mean, they play hard. They're well coached. Nick Nurse was my pick for coach of the year. They defend. They've got depth. They shoot the three. Like, they can do it all. Their backcourt of Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, they're very much underrated. And so I like them a lot. What gives me pause with them is that they are 1-7 against the Rockets, the Bucks, the Clippers, and the Celtics. Now, they've beaten the Lakers twice, and maybe it's just a bad matchup for the Lakers, but they have not played well against the upper echelon, like the elite teams. And so that's where perhaps that star power – that lack of star power, if you want, for them kind of comes into play. But it does make me wonder, you know, can they beat these elite teams in a 7-game series without a Kawhi Leonard? Now, Pascal Siakam is likely going to be all NBA. He's an all-star now. But he's not on that level like that Kawhi was, and that could hurt them. Boston, I think Jason Tatum, still young, still going to be a little inconsistent. But he is a guy that's got that superstar ability and potential. And then Kemba Walker's like a perennial all-star type player. And they got Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown, and we know they're well coached, and they got some depth. So I probably would go Boston. I think Miami's tough. I think there's a ceiling on Miami. As much as I like them, I don't see them winning the East. So if I had to pick somebody other than Bucks right now, I reserve the right to change my mind, but right now I probably would say the Celtics.
Hey, you mentioned Kawhi Leonard. Do you think he looks like himself right now?
Well, it was interesting watching that late, and they're about to play in a little while. But watching that Lakers game, he obviously not the, – the next game was a different story. I forgot, was that Brooklyn? Who they blew somebody out, Memphis? Or I think it was Memphis.
I think it was Memphis.
But the Lakers game, early he didn't look good. And then the second quarter he took over, and he was just killing them. But you saw – and I gave credit to LeBron, but maybe it was some of Kawhi too. LeBron D'd him up when he needed to and kept him from getting his shot up, getting his space off, and all of that late in that game. And that was very impressive on LeBron's part. But, you know, I think Kawhi will be there. He struggled in the little exhibition game, but he struggled in the preseason this year and then took off once the season started. So I kind of learned not to doubt him. Like, that dude, when the lights go on, he I think his demeanor is good for stuff like this. Like, he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low. He's just very steady. So I would think he's going to perform well throughout this time in the bubble.
Chris, you know, you brought up Siakam before, and it makes me think, like, the Cavs never draft a player late in the first round or second round that turns out to be, like, a really good player. Like, I mean, who's the last guy that they probably drafted late that was really good, and maybe I'm not thinking of somebody, is probably, like, and it's not as good as, but like, was it, like, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, maybe? And that's, like, 30 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, was actually covering the team when they drafted Zydrunas.
Right? I mean, like, they
– Potapenko, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the guys that have been good for, like, yeah, obviously LeBron, obviously Kyrie – and Tristan Thompson, but those are all, you know, number one, number four pick. I mean, the Cavs never hit on these late guys ever, it seems.
The Cavs haven't always hit home runs with the number one picks either.
True.
What's his name?
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. But, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because if you look at the great teams, they tend to do that.
Yeah.
They tend to get guys. I mean, we never forget. Where was Draymond Green drafted? Second round.
Yep.
Chris Middleton, now, he wasn't drafted by Milwaukee, but he's a second round pick. You know, the top teams do. You look at Miami, some of those guys they got late. Duncan Robinson, I can't remember exactly where he was picked, but, you know, guys like that. San Antonio, you know, made a living off that. I mean, Manu Ginobili was a late second-round pick, and Tony Parker was a late first-round pick. Kyle Kuzma was a late first-round pick with the Lakers. So you're right, and you've got to get a front office that puts together a staff that can get those late picks because, you know, obviously you need stars to get to a championship level. But you also, you know, role players play a huge part in winning the title. And if you can get some of those guys, and maybe, again, look at the guys I mentioned. Most of them blossomed into stars. And so it's not, you know, you got to have a good staff that does its homework and, you know, is able to get you some of those late picks, some of those diamond in the roughs late in the first round or even in the second round.
Chris, we appreciate it, man. Great insight. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Chris.
Great stuff.
Appreciate
great stuff. Awesome talking to Chris Broussard, FS1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.